If you have your Bible, you turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll be looking at chapter verse 20 through 24. And the title here is Living in Truth. I believe you're living in truth. And let me read what one word said. The Bible was written to be obeyed and not simply studied. This is why the words therefore and wherefore are repeated so often in the second half of Ephesians. And you can look real quick, if you look at chapter 4, verse 17, you'll see the word therefore. If you look at chapter 4, verse 25, you'll see the word wherefore. And you see in chapter 5, verse 1, you'll see again the word therefore, okay? So Paul here, we spent the first half of Ephesians, Paul has told us what we have in Christ, how rich we are, how wealthy spiritually we are. However, Paul now is saying, in light of what Christ is doing, you are now to do something. You ought to do for Christ. Christ has done so much for us, we have an obligation to walk in truth, to walk in the light, to be obedient. And even if we use what Paul said in verse 24, and the last part, he said God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We are to do that, okay? We are to be holy. Now, we know that because of what Christ done, we're saved. We are holy before God. We are justified. But we are to live that out, okay? So, here's the question, though, and I think all of most of you would agree with that, but how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we live in the truth? How do we walk in the truth? Well, I believe these verses here tell us that. Let's look at verse 20 through 24. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him, have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye be put on the new man, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And you'll see in verse 25, we're not going to get that today, but one will put away lying and speaking, he even gets more specific the further he goes. So let's pray and we'll look at this together. Father, I ask for the next few minutes to help us, Lord, to really go over just a fundamental principle of Christianity, of your word, that is, and that we should walk in the truth, we should walk in the light. Lord, I ask you to help us to look at the fundamentals of how we should do that, Lord, and really what it's going to center around is your truth. And Father, I ask you to help us today, Lord, help us to learn and to grow, and we look at your word today in Christ's name, amen. We're going to jump right into this, and to live the truth, you first have to be confronted by the truth. That's number one here, is be confronted by the truth. We see that in verse 20, it says this, but ye have not so learned Christ. Now, I'm going to get to what that means here, but letter A here is truth come from Jesus. Before you get any further, when I say you need to be confronted by the truth, here's the problem with a lot of people in the church and also in the world is, what is truth? What is truth? Okay? Well, I'm going to tell you, I said right, truth come from Jesus. The world, I'm going to tell you something right now, the world cannot lead you to the truth. I want you to understand that. Verse 20 says here, Paul said, you have not so learned Christ. Now, what is he talking about? In the previous verses, Paul describes the way the world lives. Look at verse 19, we preached it last week. And said, who being past feeling have not given themselves over unto lasciviousness to the work of all uncleanliness with greediness. So, what's happening here, and he described how they used to live, how the world lived in verse 19, and then in verse 20, he's basically saying this, That's not how you come to learn about Christ. Robert Peake really says this, because he said these next two verses are kind of worded weirdly. And he basically said, you can say this, you did not learn Christ this way. In appearance, the context here, it appears that some of the believers have fallen back into their sinful lifestyle. And Paul here is rebuking them and reminding them that your sinful worldly lifestyle did not lead you to Christ. Thank you. So we can take that to further, and we can apply that to anything about the truth, is that you are never going to be led to the truth by the world. You're never going to turn on the talk shows and listen to them on the talk show and be led to the truth unless it's a saved person on that talk show. They're not going to lead you the truth about family, about marriage, about gender. They're not going to lead you to the truth. They're not going to lead you the truth of how you should live your life. Jesus Christ is the only source that can lead you to that. Paul here is recalling a conversion experience, and Paul revealed something very, very, very important. Truth does not come from the world. Truth does not come from the American way. I get a little more specific. Truth doesn't come from what we're used to doing in America. Not necessarily. The world's religion, philosophy, ideas will never lead to truth because it doesn't contain Jesus. And if it does contain Jesus, it contains a tainted version of Jesus. That's the problem with American Christianity, I call it. And it contains Jesus, but it doesn't contain Jesus of the Bible. I wrote this, all roads may lead to Rome, but only one road leads to the truth, and that road is Jesus. Not just Jesus, but Jesus of the Bible. We have a lot of people who hold on to a Jesus, but it's not the Jesus that is described in the Bible, who's holy and who is just and who is concerned about the way that you live or demands that. Jesus made it clear, John 14:6. Jesus said, and to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to me unto the Father but by me. Paul is saying the same thing. He's saying you did not learn Christ this way. You did not come to salvation by the way the world lives their life. Jesus, and only Jesus, can lead you to the truth. We can back this up in verse 21. Look with me in verse 21. And I'm going to read the whole verse, but the last part is what I want you to get a hold of. And so be it you have heard of him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. First and foremost, Jesus is the truth about salvation. John 10 says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Nothing else can save you from your sins and be saved from the penalty of sin except Jesus Christ. Okay? And by the way, while we're on that, by faith in Jesus. Not a prayer said to Jesus. Not asking Jesus into your heart. But by faith in Jesus. By faith. Okay, that's faith. That's it. I mean, if all you have at the end of the day is walking down here and saying a prayer and there's no faith involved, then you're not saved. Now, why do I pray today? Because I have faith. Do I believe someone who has salvation for the first, has faith in Jesus for the first time and is going to pray? Probably. But let me say it like this. You pray because you have faith. You don't pray to get faith. Faith or salvation is not a formula that you say after somebody tells you to say it. That's why we have people not in church today. Now, I said it Wednesday night, and there's a verse, and I can't think of the verse now, but it said, they went from us because they're not of us. Jesus said, and that's what I believe in. I've seen it, and that we have a lot of people, I don't know why they're not in church. They're 45 years old, but they haven't learned that in church because they're not saved. The Bible separates the wheat and the tares, right, Brother Mike? They were tares among the wheat. And they came down here and they said a prayer. They may have shed a few tears. But if they didn't have faith with it, they're not saved. That's the truth. And that's something that we're battling on churches. I mean, I grew up that way. I had people tell me to say a prayer. It's not a prayer. And a prayer alone, that's it. And that's why they're not in church, because they're not saved. That's why anyone's not in church, faithfully, if they're not saved. Because they're tares, and they're not going, they shouldn't be here. They don't want to be here because they're not saved. I get it. I get it. The gift of salvation can be yours by grace through faith in Jesus. That's in Ephesians. Jesus is not only the truth about salvation, but life. Okay, I want you to get this. Truth comes from Jesus. And the content is about salvation, but truth about life. John MacArthur said this, Jesus leads to the fullness of the future about God, about man, about creation, about history, about sin, about righteousness, about grace, faith, salvation, life, death, purpose, meaning, relationships. I mean, God does care about same-sex being married. Because he wrote about relationships. He cares about people having sexual relationships outside of marriage. You know why? Because he wrote the authority on it. He's the truth about that. It doesn't matter what you think or what you decide is okay. He is the authority on relationships. He's authority, he's the truth about heaven and hell and judgment and eternity and everything else. Jesus is the truth on marriages, the structure of the home, parenting, money, work. I wrote this one down, how to treat animals. I can't stand it when I see people, and I've seen this not long ago, they get an animal and they don't take care of it. Now there's biblical principles in the Bible about taking care of animals. About your ox. But on the other side, I get sick of seeing people who think that animals are humans. They're not. They're not. And so why is that such a big deal? Because we're living in a society that'll murder babies but go to jail over killing an animal, and that's wrong. I'm sorry. You know, Brother Mike, you can have a dog. Now, some people get mad over this, but you can go outside and shoot your dog. I'm not saying you should. But that's not murder. It's not murder. You know why? Because an animal is not made in the image of God. That's why it's so important for us to talk about this. It's not made in the image of God. Do I think you should take care of animals? Yes. But that is not murder. It's called slaughter, but it's not murder. Because an animal is not created in the image of God. An animal does not have a soul. God's the Bible tells us. We have dominion of the animal. God, I mean, he instructed the Israelites to eat meat. So it can't be wrong. And see, we're getting to a place where I'm afraid, Brother Mark, that if you kill an animal, you're going to be arrested for murder. But the problem is not murder. Not murder. I'm pretty sure God could command them to sacrifice animals, right? So it's not murder. Now, do I think you should take care of animals? Of course. Of course, I don't. I hate when somebody doesn't take care of animals. And the Bible tells you, take care of your ox. But hey, he's the authority. He's the truth on animals. He's the truth on how to treat enemies. He's the truth on friends and how you should talk and even how you should rest. Truth come from Jesus, not the world. Paul is saying, truth comes from Jesus, not the world, or what the world even says. Truth comes from Jesus, let her be here. Truth must be comprehended. And this is what happened. It says here in chapter 4 and verse 20, it says that, but you have not so learned Christ. Which means they did learn about Christ, Miss Jean. They did. but not by the world. But they did. They learned, and it means there's a statement of them knowing about Christ. One learned literally come from the word disciple, or what means disciple. They had to hear, and verse 21 says here that they heard and was taught by him. Okay? They were confronted. There was a time in their life when they were confronted with the truth that Jesus Christ died for their sin, and the truth that they were sinners on the way to hell. They were confronted by that. For them to live in the truth, they had to be confronted by the truth. Yet, this goes further than just receiving Christ, but also for living for Christ. You have to learn about Christ. You have to understand. You have to comprehend. Once again, I've said it before, in Acts chapter 8, I love this passage. And verse 28, and was returning and sitting in his chariot. It's talking about Ethiopian. He was sitting in his chariot and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? What? Hey, understand? You have to understand the word of God for it to help you. You have to comprehend. And then he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of scripture which he read was this. I mean, we obviously know the Spirit was involved, but man, what a verse. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth in his humiliation. His judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And in it answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So he said, what's the point? He had to comprehend. He had to understand. To be confronted with the truth, he had to understand it. Same thing, true. You may be saved today. That's great. And I say this, I think, on Wednesday night. But you need to study the Bible. You need to understand what you're reading. Hey, them proverbs that you don't know what mean, you need to study them. You need to dig out what they mean. You need to understand and comprehend what is being taught. So let me tie this together. These people at Ephesus came to know Jesus because they were confronted with the truth. They heard it. And the truth came from Jesus. They gained some knowledge. And they accepted it. For you to live in light of the truth, you're going to have to be confronted by the truth. You're going to have the right source, Jesus. Not your flesh, not your friend, not some song, not anything that you've built your philosophy off of, or what the popular opinion is, or what is socially accepted. Just because they are socially accepted, even among the church, don't make it right. Right? Just because shacking up becomes socially accepted, don't make it right. Right? You're going to have the right source, Jesus. But you're going to have to understand. And when you understand, you get the right source, and you understand and comprehend, and obviously with the Holy Spirit convicting you at the same time as well, and giving you understanding, then you're going to have to make some changes. That's how you're going to live in the truth. Which leads me to our second point. Conform to the truth. If you want to live in line with the truth, you're going to have to be confronted by the truth. But then secondly, you're going to have to conform to the truth. Okay, letter A here is the mistake. Okay, then kind of an introduction to what I want to talk about in this point. Christians make the mistake of knowing what to do, but not doing it. You ever had that problem? I had that problem in my marriage. I know what my wife wants me to do, but I don't always do it. I mean, I know, but I just don't do it. And it's usually not the most pleasant outcome. Well, same thing is true with us. And I do that because we do know so much as Americans. We know everything. We can find out anything at the touch of our fingertips. And probably we do a lot of knowing, but I'm afraid we need to do some doing. James has something to say about that. I'm gonna read a couple of verses out of James chapter 1. And he said, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness and grafted words able to save your soul." So there it is, we see there the truth. Truth comes from Jesus, the truth. "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Or if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man is blessed in his deed." It's not just enough to know the truth. Oh, I just love the word of God. It's not enough to have 20 copies and say, "I just cherish this book." Woo! If you don't do anything. See, Christianity is very practical. We like to make it real mystical and emotional, but it's very practical. Here it is. It says, if you do these things, and it said, I did my note, and it said, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now, the key, you can't just know what to do. You have to do it. This is the mistake that we make sometimes. If we know what to do, but we don't do it. We are confronted by the truth, but we are also to conform to it. And we actually see that in our text. Look at verse 21. And look at the last word there. What does it say? Anybody? Jesus. Okay. Now, what's interesting about this? I didn't know this, Brother Mark. When I started studying, this is what one writer said. Jesus is rather than Christ. The historical rather than the official name. Okay, so in the Greek, he's saying that when they use Jesus, he used a historical name, like when he lived on earth, not his official name. I didn't think that much about that. It got my attention, but then later I read behind Robert Piccirilli, who that's the Randall House commentary, Free Will Baptist commentary, very good commentary. I would suggest you get it if you don't have it, and if you want to study. And he said this, note, specifically, human Jesus here, which is not all that common in Paul. And then he goes on to say, in the person and life of Jesus is found and seen the truth. So what he's saying here is that when he used that, he's not saying just know the truth. He's saying, hey, look at who lived the truth. Jesus lived out the Bible. And so he goes on to say this, as always in the Bible, truth is more than intellectual content. That's knowing. Truth in integrated of life, living according to the law. We are supposed to live it. He goes on, and truth is always in all ways of living, and that way was clearly seen in Jesus' own earth. On this basis, the Christian to build his own new life. So he said, what does all that mean? In case you didn't get it. And I mean, when he said Jesus, I mean, not just knowing about Jesus, but reading the gospel and seeing how he lived it out. He lived it out. See, we are supposed to not just be hearers. We're not supposed to be intellectual scholars, theologians. We're supposed to roll the sleeves up and get dirty. We're supposed to get to it. We're supposed to live out what we've learned. We're supposed to be doers and not hearers only. Jesus is a source of truth. But Jesus also is the model of truth. That's what I'm trying to get at. He's the model. We aren't just to know it, we are to live it. Our mistake is forgetting that. We see the mistake, now let it be here, the metaphor, okay? Now we get to chapter 4, verse 22. Okay, and it says this, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now look at verse 24. And we'll come back to 23 in a minute. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay? So you see there the putting on and the putting on. Okay? That is a figure of speech. It's a metaphor of taking off and putting on clothes. So here's some terms. You see there the old man and the new man. I might bore you here just now, so if you don't like this type of stuff, just take a little nap, and I'll wake you back up in a minute. But I want you to understand this part, though. The old man is the person who was unsaved. Okay? The new man is someone who is saved. Now, this is not talking about your sin nature. Okay, Sonny, we know, I've been around him. He's saved, but he still has a sin nature. Okay, you know, right? See, that's not what it's talking about. We all have that old nature. You know, we got to walk in the spirit or the flesh. We are still in the flesh, but the old man here is dead, okay? So that, I want you to know that. This is talking about salvation, okay? It's about the old man and the new man, okay? So here we know that. So now we got to ask this question. When did this happen? When did this putting on and putting off? I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. When did this take place? At salvation. Okay? When you put off the old man and you put on the new man, is at salvation. Okay? The word is the aorist tense. Put off is the aorist, which would mean a certain time in the past. Okay? Okay, so that's what's happening. So what's happening here is that this is something that happened at salvation, okay? Through that. Okay, so now stay with me. So there's some debates about this when you start reading this, so stay with me. There's no question that the old man was put off at salvation and the new man was put on at salvation. And that's a done deal. Okay, that's a done deal. Okay, I want you to know that. But the question is this, as I started reading, does this have continuous implications? That's the thing. Does this mean that this is not a command for us today? Well, let me read what, I may have more people, but this is what I felt like was on the spot, on the money here. There is a very real sense in which at conversion, the individual puts away his old way of life and takes up the new life. This is true both a matter of profession and a matter of position in Christ. But there's another sense in which the Christian puts off the old man, puts on the new man in the present. Okay, just stay with me. Paul here is giving an exhortation. He's saying this has been done, but he's also giving an obligation. We have put off the old man and must put him off. We do this every time we deny the former life by refusing to live the way we used to. Paul urges readers to bring their life in correspondence with their true position. You say, well, what are you trying to get at? All right, hear this. This is a statement to when you get saved, you put off the old man and you put the new man on. But if that's happened, you should continually reflect that. Okay, that makes sense. Basically, sanctification. I mean, it is a statement to you have been saved, you are a new man, but that new man should be seen by other people. It should go together. We have been made in a new creature. We have taken off the old man. We have taken off the old habit. It's like an old jacket. We are given brand new clothes. It is a clear once and for all change. But we need to make sure that we reflect what we are in our daily life. Because you know what? Once you wear, determines what you do. Now I'm going to tell you something. My mother, I love her. She was a pretty young. She hadn't been a lot on some things. You know, she was very compassionate. She loved me and all that. Great mother. But we had one rule. I don't know if y'all had this rule. I had good clothes, and I had what we called everyday clothes. I had a pair of shoes for school, and I had my play shoes, okay? Now, you did not go play in your good clothes. Well, what happens sometimes, Brother Mark, when you get off of school? You go straight outside, right? Not Mom. She caught you. You were coming in. You were changing. There were certain things I couldn't do with some clothes that I was wearing. Well, the same thing's true in our Christianity. When we get saved, we put on new clothes. And we're supposed to act a certain way. The problem, and I see so many people say, I've got new clothes, but they're running around in the mud holes. What you wear determines what you do. And even now, I'm not going to wear this going fishing. What I wear determines what you do. And so you, when you get saved, you've got a new set of clothes, done, finished, complete. But that should and it will reflect and affect how you live your life. We mean you're going to conform to what's happened to you. You're going to conform to the truth. Christians have been given a new set of clothes, once and for all, and our actions need to match that. Our actions will match when we conform to the truth. We are to daily conform to the truth that's converted us. We need to put into practice what we've become. We need to become a new man. We need to walk like a new man. And that's going to happen when we each day get up and say, I'm going to live my life according to the Word of God. Now, you may not say that every day, but that's your attitude each and every day. Now, I'm going to live according to the Word of God. And when you do that, you're going to conform and you're going to live what on the outside was on the inside. To walk in the truth, we need to be confronted by the truth. Number two, we need to conform to the truth. And then number three, and lastly, we need to continue. Number three, continue in truth. I mean, that's really part of, that's really one of the sure sign that someone is saved is that they continue. And I don't got time going all that, really, and a bunch of verses about that, but that's really one thing. The problem is, why are they not in church? Because they took it, and what the parable sowed the seed, and they withered away. They never had it. They withered away. They're a tare, not a wheat. They're a wool, not a sheep. I mean, that's just the bottom line. That's just biblical principle that we have decided we're not going to accept anymore. I mean, you know. I mean, like I say, everything else under the sun, but they're not saved. And I don't say that happily. It's just a reality. But anyway, so you continue. If you want to walk in the light, if you want to walk in the truth, you have to continue in the truth. Here's the problem. Letter A is the problem. People get off course. Have you messed up this week, Brother Daryl? Amen. All right. Great. Good testimony. Good testimony. Now, I am too. Sometimes we get off for a day. Sometimes we get off in a moment. Sometimes some people sadly get off and they stay off for a lot longer than they should. And the context most likely, I didn't really pick on this as much until now because we'll see later. I mean, even he gives them some instruction. Why? Because they're going back to their old ways. In the context of these believers, Paul tells them not to walk as Gentiles. He tells them to put away, I said in I think verse 25, put away lying and speaking every man truth with his neighbor and so on. Because they're not living like they should. They've got a problem. They know the truth, that the truth is in them. They've been confronted by the truth. They've even conformed to the truth. But it seems like they're not continuing in the truth. I understand. We don't always live out what we are. We sin. We get deceived. We become weak. We get tempted and so on. And I say that with a lot of compassion and grace. I'm not, that's a reality. It shouldn't be, but it is. So we need a process to get over that problem. That's letter B, the process. Control what you think. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's look at verse 23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I don't think I have it in my notes, but it hit my head just now. Now, this is a continuous action. See, verse 22, put off is a done deal. It's a past, it's a specific time, once and for all, and so is put on in verse 24. But in verse 23, be renewed. When that point even more than the fact that we are continually to put off the old man, okay? So, this is a continuous action. We are to renew and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so, what does this mean? It means control what you think. You say, what do you mean? The mind means the way one thinks. The way of thinking is always the basis for decisions that affect actual conduct. What you think is going to lead you to what you do. I've never just been in la-la land and said, you know what, I'm going fishing. No, this is what happens. It hits me about today. After I get up tonight, I'll be like, you know what? I wouldn't mind going fishing this week. And then I start contemplating. Well, do I want to go? I've been wanting to go up to Wilbur Lake and do some trout fishing with minnows. Do I want to go do that? Nah, that's a long way to drive. Do I want to go catch some smallmouth? I don't know. That's how it starts. And then eventually you'll see me one day running around with fishing poles. Because why? Because what I thought led to what I do. Same thing in everything in your life. You're going to do what you think about. And Warren Wimper said this, You are what you think. Proverbs 23:17 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And so the heart is, you know, it is your mind, but it's the will, the spiritual side. And that even said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So here's the question. How do we control what we think? Well, basically we renew the spirit of our mind. What you think is what you do, and we need to make sure the mind is spiritual. So how do we do that? Well, thankfully, when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit. He's gonna renew your mind. The power of the Holy Spirit, but also the practices of the believer. One guy said this, we have the resource of the Holy Spirit, but we also have responsibility as well. Robert Pigley said, the Christian mind, the mind that is being renewed under the influence of Christ's teaching. Well, the Word of God. John MacArthur said, our resources are God's Word and prayer. It's through that mind that we will live the life of Christ. So basically, here's the reality. You're going to do what you think about. You're going to do what your mind is put in your mind. That's what you're going to do. What you going to do? So therefore, if we want our mind to be spiritual, then we've got to put spiritual things in our mind. We've got to walk with the Lord. We've got to read the Word of God. We've got to study and know what God wants to do. We've got to pray about it. We've got to walk with Him. And other words, to continue in truth, we have to think spiritually. And to think spiritually, we have to continue to feed our mind with the truth. Continue to live in truth, you have to continue to control how you think by staying in the truth. John 8:31 says, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed." Woo! We don't like to apply that, do we? That's why people are not in church today that you think are saved, because they're not a disciple. They didn't continue in the word. That's a pretty good evidence that they're not right with God. I mean, Jesus didn't really mention any words. He said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed." It's not that you have to continue in the word to earn it. And that if you really are a child of God, then you're going to do that. It's going to happen. And that's what we have to do. You need to continue to go there. Do the truth. To be confronted and to be conformed. Then repeat. But I want to do that on point number three. What do you do? Number three, repeat. Be confronted by the word. Be conformed by the word. Then repeat. Be confronted. Be conformed. Then repeat. Confront, conform, repeat. That's really all it is. That's really all it is. That's why we need to come to church. That's why you need to walk with God yourself. You need to be personally, privately confronted. When you walk with God, you need to be confronted at church. You need, by the teaching of the Word of God, and you need to be confronted, and you need to conform to what the truth is, and you repeat. And that's it. That's really all there is to living or walking in the truth. In conclusion, let's walk in the truth. To do that, you have to allow truth to confront you. And when confronted, you have to conform. And then after you conform, you have to start the process all over again. And that is the process. I will stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed at the Miss Tammy and Miss Brenda come to play. I don't know what it is. It's kind of just a overall. I didn't really pick out one truth to hammer, but I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're like me. Hey, maybe you're not being confronted enough. Maybe you're slacking in your walk with God. Maybe you're not continuing like you should. Maybe you're like me. And it is hard. There's no doubt about this. It's always hard to put into practice what you know you ought to do, right? I mean, you know, I'll make it real lighthearted. I know that I need to eat better. I know that I need to quit eating Little Debbie's. And I know I need to quit drinking ginger ale. I love ginger ale. And I know I need to, even hot dogs are not good for you. I'm thinking about that. But I don't do that. I keep doing them. I'm going to do it again today. That's bad enough, but spiritually, we really can't tolerate that. We can't tolerate that spiritually. And they begin to play. And if there's something in your life that you've been tolerating, you need to conform. And you need to get out of your life.